Great. I have the privilege of just sharing a few things around where we're going this year. And why do we do this? I'm so glad you asked me. Because when 1 year rolls into the next, there's almost like this anticipation that there's endless opportunities before me. There's a blank canvas. There's some white screen that God wants to write upon. And I love the moments from transitioning from 1 year into the next, because it's almost like God gives us fresh windows and opportunities to see things that we've never seen before, to make changes that we've never made before, and to stand in that place where we have fresh anticipation and hope. Doesn't mean last year's vision doesn't matter. No. As you can see, we are layering year upon year, glory upon glory, as God prepares us for that ultimate moment where we see Him face to face. Are you excited this morning? I grew up in Botswana. Any other Botswana people here? And it was a beautiful privilege to grow up in Botswana because my playground was the bush. We lived on the outskirts of town, and one of my best friends also lived on a farm on the outskirts of town. And we had the most amazing fun on these farms in the bush. And so you can imagine in Botswana bush, there are quite a lot of danger out there. Just to paint a little bit of a picture, in grade 3, I took an Egyptian cobra to show and tell that I found in my garden. Obviously, it was dead, and I could hold it up, and obviously became the main man because I, together with the person who worked in our garden, actually killed it. But obviously, I said I killed it. And here I was in that moment, confronted just with the dangers that existed in the bush out there. And I remember one of the requirements that our parents put in place was right around our property and right around my friend's farm as well, there was a nicely manicured space. The bush was cut and you could kind of see what was there. And that was the boundary that we could go up until when we were playing. If we went beyond that, we would get in trouble. And I remember one day deciding that we had kind of done everything that was needed within the boundaries. We had played every game. We had seen every animal. We had tried to flush out every ant hole. We had done all sorts of things. And this was the moment where I could see beyond this bush, there was this opportunity for some adventure. There was an opportunity for something great to happen. And we decided to venture beyond to the other side and to step over the line that our parents said we couldn't do. And we went on an amazing adventure. And one of the things that really stuck out, if I look back over those seasons, was the best adventure was we went far enough to find a pack of wild horses. And I remember running back to get the rope so we could try and catch them. Obviously very foolish in those days. We never did. But it was those adventures, it was those thrills, it was that excitement, it was that pushing the boundaries that made going to the farm that much more exhilarating. Because we ventured beyond what was safe, what was tame, what was allowed. And I want to stand here at the start of 2020 and say, I feel God is calling us beyond the confines that we've set for ourselves. I feel God is calling us to move beyond the limitations and the areas that are scary. You see, beyond that area that my parents said I couldn't go, in my mind, that's where the lions lived. That's where the ferocious creatures all existed. And so I was petrified of going over. But the moment I stepped over and began this wild adventure, life took on a whole new purpose and a whole new meaning. And I feel it's time that the church started to go on an adventure with God, where we move beyond the areas of comfort and other areas of reason and logic, the areas that we have nicely manicured for ourselves, and allow God to develop a new and fresh passion inside of us. I read a quote this week from Graham Cook that says, mediocrity or apathy is invisible until passion shows up. And friends, it's time as the church we begin to show up with passion because we have a passionate King who's done everything in His power to purchase our lives, to restore our hearts, to go after us when we were out in the bushvelds and bring us back to the place of home, belonging, the place of security in His love and the blood of Jesus that has won a victory for us. Luke chapter 8, and I kick off with this as we look at what's on the other side, is a great invitation that Jesus gives to His disciples to leave the place of familiarity and comfort, to leave the place where everything is contained within my control. I don't know about you, but I like control. It feels safe. But friends, the journey that God's got ahead of us in 2020, we have to let go of control and have a full surrender. We're going to do what God's called us to do. If we're going to become and step into the place. And I think most of the body of Christ is actually just bored, to be perfectly honest. The reason we are not living in the God life, the fresh expression of the power and the Holy Spirit of God, is because we have allowed our very passion to be tamed by what's safe and what's reasonable and what's logical and not what's faithful. Not what's fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not what's in line with what I see Abraham and Joshua and Caleb and all those mighty men and women of God, Mary and everyone who stood in that place. There was a ferocious passion inside of them to do and become something that they'd never seen before. And friends, that same invitation for us today. And I love the story going through Scripture. I study the gospel more than anything else because I'm captivated by this idea that we are, as the Bible says, as Jesus was in the world, so are you. Which means everything that Jesus was in this world is an invitation for us to be and live and smell and act and hear according to the same. That's the pattern. That's the prototype. Study the life of Jesus. It's an invitation. And here he takes his disciples and he says, I want you to come on the boat with me. Now, you read Luke chapter 8. You can go and turn to it, 22, 25, if you want to. It's the story of taking these disciples. He says, come away with me. And I feel this year there are many moments that God is going to call us as the body of Christ to come away from the shores of our control and the safe places, the safe financial places that we have tried our best to maintain, the safe relational spaces. You know, just let me keep quiet and not say too much. Let me build walls so that no one really sees what's happening behind the surface. God's calling us out of those barriers, friends, where we choose to trust people, even though it may be scary. We choose to open up in con groups, safe places, because that's where true life comes. We choose to say, God, I know that the glory is going to cover the earth. Let it start with me in my neighborhood. Let it go into my workplace. Let it go into the places. Why? Because I am there. I'm a representation of heaven on earth, just as Christ was. So he invites them. He says, come and row a boat with me. And I want you to feel out of control. I love how Jesus calls us into the places of out of control because he wants us to build a life that's unshakable where he is in control. He takes them in its rowboat journey. And this is one wasn't just like a Midmar Dam experience. Because as he began to sleep in the boat, it says the wind and the waves began to howl, so much so that they were sinking and they were petrified. Friends, the mission of God across the earth should petrify us because it means that we trust him and not ourselves. It should be that place where we let go of having to have everything in order. And here they were, the disciples going, we have no other option but to wake Jesus up. You see, what Jesus was trying to do there was trying to show them something. That in this journey of letting go, you discover who you are in Christ. Because in that moment, they discovered that they were in the presence of the one who calmed the storm. In that moment, they were in the presence of the one who had authority, the king, to say to every area that represented darkness, that represented problem, that represented circumstances, that represented limitation, you have to bow to my name. And you see, it's the very name that we carry as believers. It's the very identity we carry. We get to shape the world around us, but it comes from letting go of our old nature, our systems of control, our inadequacies, and saying, God, I'm getting you in my boat. And here Jesus stood up and he rebuked the waves and they calmed down. It says, peace came. The evidence of the Christ one in us is peace comes. And here he was imitating a moment where he said, I want you to come to the other side. And in this journey, it might get bumpy. The ride might look scary, but I'm going to show you something and you're going to discover something in this journey. And friends, I believe 2020 is the same call. Tell the person next to you, it's time to go to the other side. I want you to play this video for me very quickly. This is the call of God for this church and this region right now. I want you to hear it. You can close your eyes for a moment and let the Spirit of God speak to you so clearly.
Jesus looks at his disciples and he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Now, brothers and sisters, on the surface, this may not mean too much. It's just an instruction. It's just an injunction from Jesus. It might just be an invitation from him to the disciples. Let us together go over, because something else needs to be done. But if you were to pause for a moment and hear the words of Jesus to you today, in fact, the invitation to the disciples, the injunction to them, are the same words to us today. Jesus is stopping by to say to us, let us pass over to the other side. Let us pass over to the other side.
It's time, friends, because there's a call from heaven, just as there was through the prophet Isaiah all those years ago. There's a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God in the desert. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain shall be brought low. Every crooked place shall be made straight. Every rugged place shall be made smooth. As what happens? The glory of the Lord is revealed to all mankind, and everyone begins to see it. Just as Isaiah spoke those words, as John the Baptist revealed those words, as Christ fulfilled those words, it's the same invitation for us. There's a voice crying in the wilderness, the place that we feel completely lost, the place we feel completely undone, the place we feel completely out of control. And it's crying out to the people of God today saying, will you partner with your true identity in Christ and become the one that shapes the world around you, where every valley begins to be raised up? Friends, this morning my question is, what's on the other side of our valleys? Every mountain gets lowered, gets every barrier, every obstacle, no matter what it is that you're facing right now. As we look to 2020, my question is, what's on the other side of that mountain? As we look at the crooked places, the places that don't look quite squeaky clean, what's on the other side of that place being straightened out, the rugged places becoming smooth? I can tell you what it is. It's the glory of the Lord being revealed. It's the fullness of His character and His nature revealed to mankind through us. Friends, and that's what the world's crying out for. 2020 is our year to go to the other side. To stop letting the valley become our dwelling place, or the mountain become our restriction, or the crooked place becoming our excuse, or the rugged place becoming our slippery slope, where we trust ourselves and not God. This is the moment God's calling us. Hear the voice of God and cross to the other side. The greatest example of this that I can see, this is our vision for this year, is Jesus Christ Himself. You see, because the moments that He entered planet Earth, you don't hear much about Him until the moment that He gets baptized. And friends, this is the first point I want to make. This year, we want to strengthen our position in Christ by understanding the reality of what God has done for us. Many of us are walking around with half-truths. Many of us, I said, we have so many words going through our mind every day. 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts that are bombarding us from every direction every day. 95% of them are ones we had yesterday. And the day before that, 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 and most of them are negative. Friends, if we are going to transition into a place where we hear the voice of God and begin to see valleys in our lives raised up and those around us, mountains leveled, and people starting to encounter the glory of God, we've got to become serious about strengthening our position in God. We are new creations. Tell the person next to you, you are a brand new. We are not remodels of the olds. I love telling the story of my car experiences, because for many parts of my life, I had cars that were handed down to me, or third hand or fourth hand, because that's all I could afford. And so I knew how to jimmy the system. Every time I went to unlock it, I had to click it twice and hit it with my knee and then punch it with, and then the door would open. Then I would go to, and this is no joke, I would go to turn the ignition and I had to touch another key on the magnetic strip for the thing to start working. And if you wanted to wind down the window, you had to put your hand outside. No, I'm joking. We are in that culture where often we confuse the new creation reality that God has brought for us with the idea that somehow God wants to panel beat our old life. Friends, that's not what Jesus showed us. If we're going to cross the other side, we're going to be rooted in the fact that God's given us a brand new operating system. He's filled us with a brand new power, the Holy Spirit's. He's done everything it needed to make us squeaky clean. We stand blameless, holy, righteous in His sight. I remember the moments I drove my first brand new car out of the garage. You know what the realization was? I got in there and I turned the aircon on and it actually blew cold air out. I turned the radio on and actually for the first time worked. I pressed the button and the windows came down, like every single one of them. I pressed the button and all the doors opened without any maneuvering from my part. You see, many of us are maneuvering our lives and our Christian walk, trying to do stuff just so we can get going and the car can move. Friends, Jesus, in this place, before he starts his ministry, in Luke chapter 3, it says this. It says he went through the waters of baptism, and the Bible says the heavens opened before him, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And he heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son whom I love, I'm so well pleased." You see, the moment we were baptized, something changed. The separation that existed between us and God was opened up forever, just as it was in the time of Jesus. That curtain was torn. That place of I can't see God, I can't hear God, I can't experience God is absolute rubbish. All you need is faith to believe you can. And as we sit in that place, the heavens opened. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon. You see, the breath of God inside of us is the same Spirit that overcame the grave. It's the same Spirit that overcame sickness and disease. It's the same power of God that lives inside of Jesus, lives inside of us. Friends, that we treat it like some inconvenience. We treat it like some little guru. Now, friends, it's the real raw power, majesty of God living inside of us. And I love this analogy, descended like a dove. I've heard many people talk about this, but the character of the Holy Spirit is such as this. I looked up what the dove does that no other animal can do. How does the dove stand out in the animal kingdom? So glad you asked me. It's the only animal above every other animal that can travel for hundreds and even thousands of miles away from home and still find its way back home. What is God trying to communicate in this moment? That while you were so separated from me, while you have traveled distance away from me because of sin and because of just unbelief and because of all sorts of things, my Spirit has found you and has made his home inside of you. You see, the dove coming upon Jesus was a symbolic representation that this is not just a visit for a moment. Across the chasms of divides and the distance that exists between God and man, I have chosen to find my home inside of you. I've chosen to reside. And as Ephesians 2 verse 22 says, become the dwelling place of God. You know what I believe? If we're going to strengthen our position in God, we're going to believe that God is with us all the time. We believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're going to believe that the moment we got baptized, we moved into a new creation reality. We were completely righteous, completely loved, completely belonging to God. That he says, across these distances that somehow you believe exist, there's no distance because my Spirit resides inside of you. I've made my dwelling place, my home inside of you. Then he heard the audible voice of God saying, "This is my beloved. I'm so pleased with you." Friends, this is the season. If we're going to strengthen our position in God as a church in 2020, we need to hear more about how God sees us, feels about us, talks about us, thinks about us, all those things that we do about ourselves. This is the moment. If you can go to the next slide. So how are we going to do that? You see, the moments of intimacy is the place where this all happens. In this experience, this was between the Father and his Son. God is inviting us as a church this year into greater experiences of intimacy with our Father, where we understand that the curtain has been torn and there's no separation between us and God. Someone's got to get happy here. The biggest thing I encounter when I speak with believers and they go through all sorts of challenges in life is this: God's not here. Friends, that is anti-scripture. If you're a believer, if you said yes to Jesus, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Spirit, God is with you. Sometimes we just got to believe it so we can see it. We're going to spend time, go back. I think that's the wrong one. Wrong slide. But I'm going to just share a few things, three things that we're going to do. Number one is we're going to spend some time in worship as a community. We had our first worship family night on Tuesday. For those who missed it, sorry for you. It was the most beautiful moments where we lingered in the presence of God and allowed the Holy Spirit like a dove in that moment to remind us of who we truly are. I want to encourage you this year, don't miss moments in your con group, corporately, in your friendship circles to just linger in the presence of God. I'm anticipating moments where even in our corporate worship, we just allow the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do, to affirm and speak over us with clarity and purpose. This is the year we discover the art of solitude and prayer. And I'm planning my first, I don't know what to call it, but a day away where we start to model what it looks like to separate ourselves like Jesus did and encounter the Father's voice. So you want to be part of that? Come and speak to me. And we discover what unhurried rhythms of rest and grace look like. We learn to Sabbath correctly. We will learn to allow God's space within our rhythms of life every week, every day, every month, every year, to stop and reflect, to stop and consider, to stop and enjoy, to stop and rest. The next thing we see, point number two this year, as we move from that place of strengthening God, open heavens, Holy Spirit residing, taking His residence in us, and a place where we hear the voice of God, not the voice of our own past, but the voice of the Father saying, I love you, I'm pleased with you, you're my son or my daughter. That's the place of intimacy. From that place, we see Jesus moved, full of the Holy Spirit, into the desert. Now, you'll tell me, how can that be part of your vision? Friends, I think the desert is the most healthy place for us when God's busy transforming our lives. I look at the life of Jesus, and he was led full of the Holy Spirit. Did God leave him in the dry, barren desert place? No. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was in that quiet space when all around him it seemed like the circumstances were dry and barren and difficult. Anyone been in that place? Two of you. Oh, wow. Spirit of truth, descend upon us. In that space was where the true stuff was tested. And he walked into an authority that was powerful. And I want to put number two out there. 2020 is a year where we start to understand and let God reveal the authority that's in us because of Christ. You see, when he walked into this place of the desert, full of the Holy Spirit, he was confronted with all sorts of temptations to believe something that he was not. If you are the Son of God, then do this. How many times we walk into confusing situations where the enemy is lying to us saying, if you are, prove it. Here you see Jesus standing in that place, confronted by the first test, provision, turn this stone into food. Friends, the first test you're always going to face is one of provision. And if you don't stand in that place, and like Jesus, understand that every single word is what feeds me. Jesus stood in that place and said, my feasting, my bread is what? It's the word of God. And so he used the word to declare, and he moved through that test. The next test of promotion, the place where God says, I'll give you all of this. And many people have been sidetracked by all sorts of promises of great fame and great wealth and great this and great glory. God says, turn all that aside because you're called to worship me. Second one, the test of providence. Throw yourself off this and let this temple and let God do his angels lift you up. He said, why do I need to test God? He loves me. He cares for me. He's good. And all through these tests, what did Jesus do? He used the word of God to speak and declare. And as he spoke and as he declared, he moved through every test and he came out the other end. What does the Bible say? He wasn't just full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I believe this year God's calling this church to allow testing to not make us disgruntled, hopeless, bitter Christians, but to allow testing to reveal the true authority of Christ within us. And to align ourselves with truth, as I spoke about last week, and begin to declare that truth at every single step that we take. Because what will happen in that moment as we do that is we'll begin to see power start working through our lives. You see, if we consistently behold the truth, become the truth, believe the truth, speak the truth, and act the truth according to the Word of God, guess what starts to happen? All around us comes under the influence of the truth, the power of heaven. Friends, it's time. It's time that we understood we carry authority in the area of provision. We carry authority in the area of servanthood. Not promoting ourselves, but the Bible says, as Jesus, didn't consider equality with God something to grasp. He made himself a servant to serve mankind, to see them encounter the glory of God. Why do we serve in the church? Because it's what Jesus did all across humanity. And lastly, we don't need to put God to the test. He's good, he's caring, he's loving. Those things never change, as I spoke about last week. But this is the key. How are we going to do that? Number one, we are starting in February a 21-day lies fast or truth feast, whatever you want to call it, where we are going to feast on the word of God, the truth of God, in the areas that most of us are believing lies. Tell the person, this is going to change your life. 21 days to establish a new pattern of thinking in our minds where we are no longer going to be bound by the lies of the enemy. If you are the Son of God, then we're going to stand and we are going to believe the truth and speak the truth. And we're going to get out of these deserts that we find ourselves camping in instead of becoming the place of power and authority. So for 21 days, if you are not on our email list, I want you at the info desk afterwards to put your email down. You'll get emailed a video from one of our leaders detailing an area of lies that we need to exalt to an area of truth. And then when we've understood that truth and we've meditated upon it, and the Bible says meditate means to matter, we've spoken about it, guess what's happened? We'll take a declaration and we'll speak it over our day, every day, and we'll add to that for 21 days, and guess what you'll start to see? A revealed authority and a new position of power is going to come upon the church, because we're going to stand against every lie, every doubt, every fear that stands between our true identity and us. Are you with me? As we do that, you're welcome to fast food. You're welcome to fast media. You're welcome to fast anything that detracts you from the truth and encountering the truth in God. And so for 21 days, starting the 3rd of Feb, all the way through to the 23rd, 24th, around there, it's that Sunday, we're going to do this together as a community. And I want to encourage every single one of us. Invite your friends. Get the email addresses to our office or at the info desk. Get on the app. You'll find it there on social media. We're going to do this together. The other area that we are trusting God for in this area of revealing authority and power is we've invited Steve Backlund a year ago to come. And I love how God has just put us in this right time. That at the end of the month of February, after 21 days, he arrives on the 24th. And he's going to be here in this church for a weekend, the 28th to the 1st of March, 28th of Feb, and I want not one person to miss out on, because he carries something in this area. He was here last year, and just some testimonies that came. We're still living in some of the fruits of that time together, where he just blasted lies after lies after lies after lies, and he brought us into a liberating truth. The Bible says the truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is a weekend not to miss, because we need to know truth, so truth can set us free, because it's the truth that gives us the authority to stand, and the power comes upon us in those moments to establish the kingdom. This is our goal, friends. That's what God is calling us to do. Are you with me? So 28th, don't miss it. The other opportunity you have to encounter fresh authority and power is congroups. Because every single time, every week, one person shares their story. And just like the lady with the issue of blood, in the moments we feel most ashamed, most discarded, like we don't belong, we have a community around us declaring truth over us, that God loves us, that God's called us, that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. And in those encounters, guess what happens? We get disengaged from lies and we establish truth in our lives. That's what Comroop's all about. Don't miss out this moment. Don't miss out this year. Sign up and be part of this. Make changes in our schedules to be part of this. As we leave this moment full of the power of the Holy Spirit, he gets to Nazareth. And what do we see here? We see him stand up in the temple and he starts to issue a decree on what the purpose of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what the purpose of Christ was. As he stands up, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Friends, the same as Jesus was in the world, so are we. Christ lives inside of us, am I right? Which means the same commission that Jesus stood up and said, "I've revealed now in this scripture," is the same invitation to us. He says this, "The Lord's Spirit is on me." He's not on me to make lots of money. He's not on me to have a comfortable life. He's not on me to get through my problems. Most of us have confused the mission of God with some selfish desire to be something that God says you already are. You're already favored. You're already rich. You're already loved. You're already approved. You're already a success, because the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, because you carry a Christ-like identity. And he stands in this place. He says, our core mission as the body of Christ, and we are those, is this Spirit is upon me to preach, to speak out, to declare, to utter good news to the poor. Friends, there are so many people locked up in poor thinking, poverty, poverty mindsets, areas that outflow into situations and circumstances of lack and sickness. And what is the body of Christ called to do under the power of the Holy Spirit? Because we've seen something else, because we've become something else in Christ. Guess what we do? We utter and speak into those places and we say, here is good news, here is hope. I believe right now God's calling us as a church, 2020, to move on to the other sides of selfish mission and pick up our kingdom mission again. That means allowing the Spirit of God to use us to preach good news, the gospel to the poor. Jesus has come to save and set free and redeem and restore and rekindle something inside of us. Are you with me? He sent me to do what? Heal the brokenhearted. Was that pray for the sick? Now that's the starting point. He's calling me to heal. Heal those that are sick. That means the authority of Christ resting on me, that was that the moment of victory that was won at the cross gets to be enforced by you and I every single time we encounter sickness, disease, hopelessness, depression, any era of darkness. Friends, I am so passionate right now about seeing a body arise and become the body of Christ that truly understands that wherever we go, this Christ one is with us. Wherever we go, the power of God is with us. To do what? To heal broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. This is not a time of doom and gloom. This is a time of favor. God wants to restore favor to his people. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that, friends? I love this story, and I'm going to brag on them for a minute. Rory and Meryl. Coming back from leave, my wife connects with them, says, and they do our hospital ministry. They go out. We've closed for holidays. They said, our mission is not to fill a program. Our mission is to be Jesus to people. And so they've carried on going to our local hospital here all the way through Christmas, all the way on Christmas time. So much so that they've built a reputation there that the staff, the matron, the head person there said, our staff are battling with a bit of fear at night. Can you gather our whole team together and can you proclaim liberty to them? Can you heal their broken hearts? Can you pronounce good news to them? And they got them together, prayed over them, took their mission in God. And guess what happens? The matron called them the next time and says, since you prayed here, there's not been one issue. They have not been scared. They have not been petrified. Something changed the moment that you prayed in this hospital. Friends, that is kingdom authority right there. Because someone chose to get uncomfortable, friends. And 2020, if you're looking for comfort, this is not your church family to belong to, friends. I'm being honest with you. Because we are going to allow the Holy Spirit to propel something inside of us into the mission of God to see this world won for Jesus. To see the power of God resting on us in day-to-day life-giving ways, friends. This is not spooky spiritual stuff. This is every single one of us taking the mission of God and making it known in our workplaces, making it known to our families, liberating people from places of bondage and fear and hopelessness and saying, I've got a great news for you. It's going to get better. This economy right now, it is merely just a moment. It's just a moment. Good news is that the heaven's economy has not shaken one bit. The God who literally took those loaves and fish and multiplied it to feed 5,000 is still the same God today as he was back then. And guess what? When we start to believe it, we'll start to manifest the very same thing. And the mission of God becomes unstoppable when you start to believe it and manifest it, friends. It's time that the church understood that our mission is not to fill nice, neat churches with nice, neat rows. Our mission is to become the representation of Christ to all humanity, friends. And we're going to do that. How are we going to do that? We're going to get on mission together. This year, I've set our missions team one goal, to get the whole church on mission. Yes, that's you. Oh, but Friends, the pulsating Spirit of God inside of us is here because he's calling us to move outside onto the other side of our fear, the other side of our comfort, the other side of our westernized middle-class living and saying, actually, there's people going to hell. There's people who have never heard about Jesus. There's people who are bound in sin and sickness. People who are bound in all sorts of oppression and depression and impression and all sorts of oppressions. God's called us to the moment where we say, yes, that's our responsibility. Because just as Jesus commissioned his disciples, he's the same commission as over our lives. So what we're going to do is we've set aside Missions Week, the 12th to the 19th of June. Mark in your calendars right now, because all of us are going on mission together. Some are going to go to Mozambique. Some are going to go to Lesotho. Some are going to go on a weekend mission because it's just a smaller period. Maybe it's our first mission. We're a bit shaky, squeaky. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Come and learn. And we're going to go to Ween, and we're going to go to Middlerus, we're going to go to Ladysmith. And some of us, we're going to put our foot in for the first time. We're going to go to Howick for a whole day. Many different communities. You see, there's many different places. And we're going to allow the love of God to permeate the region, the nations. Some of you are going to come to Ireland with us on the 20th of March because that nation needs Jesus. You know, they've never even heard about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They've invited us to a conference on the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us may not be able to go to Ireland, but you can sow your finances into it to send us and the team that's going. You can partner in prayer to say, I'm going to declare over that nation and partner with this mission to see the good news come to people, to see broken hearts bound up, to see liberty come to people, to see favor rest upon cities, friends. I'm passionate because this is the moment we mobilize. So, as an act of faith, can you move to the other side of the hall, please? I'm being serious. Move. We are moving as a prophetic declaration in this moment that we are willing to go. We are willing to get uncomfortable. We are willing to not be bound in our own understanding or our own fears, but we're moving to the other side. There we go. And there's a whole new vantage point. And I'm doing this as an illustration. I want to make one point. There we go. Even the babies are moving. I love that. This is a whole family thing. Okay, in this moment, I want you to make an observation. Is your vantage point different from where you're sitting right now? Are you seeing something different? Are you seeing something that you've never seen before? Okay, now you can take a seat back. Because I know most of you are going to feel uncomfortable for the rest of the time and not listen to me. Sorry, I'm nearly done. Few more things I want to say. But can you see how just moving out of a normal comfort zone? I know you all take the same seats every church service. That's why one day I want to move every seat out. And I know everyone's going to complain. But the goal is this. I want you to see something. Many of us are going to see a new side to God when we choose to move out of our comfort zone. Many of us are going to see God from a different angle. Someone walked past and said, I've never seen you from the other side. I look better on that side, don't I? We have never seen the God of miraculous because we've chosen not to move. We've never seen the God who heals because we've chosen not to get in the hospitals where people are sick. We've never seen the God who loves the orphans and the widows because we've never moved ourselves to move to the places that are oppressed and are full of poverty. We've never moved and seen the God who provides because we've never trusted God to provide for our mission trip. Friends, I'm hoping to squash every excuse you have. This is the mission of God. He provides for what he calls us to. And I am challenging us, and I'm challenging myself. We have to start saying, Jesus, burn like you did in those days. In the upper room, we said we'll spend 50 days praying till the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And then we'll leave that place. And in one encounter, 3,000 will be saved. The next encounter, 5,000 will be saved. Who are the men and women like that in the Bible of nowadays? Friends, they're sitting here. Thank you, Deborah Hutton. That is you, 100%. You've chosen to move. She's left her employment to come work here and be part of this team to see the kingdom advance. That's a sacrifice, friends. Because I can tell you now, she's not earning nearly what she earns, but she says, God has called me. I'm on a mission to see the kingdom come to mankind. Friends, those are the people that God's calling all of us to be. And your way of doing it may be different. I'm not putting anyone in a box. I'm saying, find out from heaven what your mission is. It looks like this and start living in it. We're going to run Alpha this year because we want to see people encounter Jesus, and we're going to plant a new congregation in Notties. because we want to see the mission of good news, liberty, freedom, come to a whole nother region. If that's you, if you have a mission and a heart for that, come and join us the 9th of February. Sunday, the 9th of Feb, 4 o'clock at Coffee and Life. Lineage up at Coffee and Life. They've opened their cafe to us. We're starting in there. Kids ministry from the word go, meeting together. And so it's a soft launch time where we get the team ready. We want to get those who are part of us already orientated around how to do this. And we might open a bit later to the public. But right now, come and join us. Notties, Balgowan, that area, Camberg, Rosetta, are calling for this mission. And lastly, we see this. We see awakened cities. Strength in position, knowing that we're baptized for the Holy Spirit, knowing our identity, affirmed and revealed authority and power because we've been tested and our words proved true. Standing in the mission of God, like Jesus did, he came to the city of Nazareth, and Nazareth could not receive what Jesus had, and so they couldn't be awakened. Who's read the story? And I end with this challenge because it's powerful. It says, as Jesus stood up, they said, isn't this Joseph's son? You see, they were looking through earthly eyes. They couldn't understand a heavenly reality. Many of us are looking at our lives through earthly eyes and we're discounting the heaven reality on them. You are a Christ follower. You're a son. You're a daughter of God. You carry the power of the Holy Spirit. The same resurrection life of Jesus lives inside of you. But what do? We look at our lives just like they did, and they say, but aren't I Mr. and Mrs. Hogarty's son? And we look at all our failings. We look at all our humanity. We look at all our issues, our weaknesses. And what do? We can never receive what God has for us while we're looking at those type of things. Nazareth could not be an awakened city while they were still focusing on how Jesus was just a carpenter's son. They didn't see the Son of God. They saw the Son of Man. Many of us are going to transition this year into understanding that we are carrying heaven wherever we go. We are not just earth, dust. We carry heaven. The other person next to you carry heaven. You carry heaven. You carry it. Imagine you walk into a room realizing, hosting that, understanding that, partnering with that. Something is going to change, friends, in the way you value yourself. The way you value the people around you, the way you speak into situations. Our words won't become careless. They'll become intentional because we carry heaven. We only speak what the Father is saying to us by the Holy Spirit. And so here, he gives two examples. He said, just like the widow of Zarephath was the only widow that Elijah came to in the middle of the desert 3.5 years. Just like Naaman was the only person healed of leprosy in the whole nation of Israel by Elisha. Those are two examples. What are they telling us? That is the posture of our hearts if we want to see an awakened city, not Nazareth. Nazareth was an unbelieving, despicable city. They kicked Jesus out. They took him to the hill and he just passed through them. They're going to kick him out. But what do we see? He gives us two examples. And this is the example we're going to set in the life of this church in 2020. Number one is we're going to become like the widow of Zarephath. Say, thank you, but I'm not a widow. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying her heart attitude needs to be in the life of this church, friends. The story goes like this. She met Elijah, who was hungry. And God said, I want you to go to this widow, and I want you to let her make you some food. He arrives at the widow of Zarephath's house. She was collecting sticks. She had one bit of flour and one bit of oil left to make her last bit of food. And then the Bible says, she said she's going to die. And so what happened? Elijah comes and says, I want you to feed me first before you feed yourself. Ha! You mean I've got to take my last and give it to you, the man of God, the representation of heaven? You need to take from it? Yes. And so what does she do? She simply obeys and she takes her last. Remember, this is her last bit of food that she's ever going to have because in her mind she's going to die after this because she's got no food. It's drought. She takes it and she gives it away. You see, the culture of generosity is only seen in an environment of lack. Who lacks here financially? You are perfectly positioned for a miracle if you choose to partner with God and not to partner with reason, if you choose to go to the other side. You see, God's calling this church to have a radical culture of generosity, where even though it feels like this costs me everything, it costs Jesus everything, and he gave it willingly anyway. Any giving under duress counts nothing in the kingdom. So the Bible tells us it's got to be willing and it's got to be joyful. That's what the scriptures tell us. Was this lady in a position to give? No, she wasn't. She had a little bit of oil and a bit of flour, but she gave willingly. And guess what happened? Who can tell me the end of the story? It says this: her flour tin never, ever, ever emptied, and her oil never ran dry until the drought ended, because she chose to obey simply the voice of God. The culture of generosity in this house has to be established in the radical generosity of our Father in heaven, who chooses to partner with us in the midst of our lack, says, offer willingly, and guess what will happen? The other thing we see is the culture of healing. It's two cultures, and I'm going to give you a third one I'm going after this year, radically. The culture of healing. Naaman has leprosy. Says, go to the other land, it's a foreign land, and you'll find the prophet there, Elisha, and you'll knock on his door, and guess what? He'll heal you. So he goes there, he knocks on the door, and guess what happens? Elisha sends his servants. He doesn't even go himself. What? How rude. I've traveled all the way from other place, and guess what? You're not even here to meet me. I'm offended. He leads in a storm. God challenges him to go back. As he goes back and humbles himself, he goes, he says, I want you to go dip. The prophet says, I want you to go dip in the river 7 times. He goes to a stinky water. It was better than where he came from. This was like a horrible river. And he obeys the voice of God. And guess what happens? He gets healed. And he encounters Jesus, and his whole nation does. What am I saying? The culture of healing has to come with no strings attached. If we want to see the cross, the evidence of God's victory established through sickness, we have to have no strings other than Jesus paid for it, therefore it is. In other words, I'm not defining the parameters. If this person doesn't pray for me, I can't get healed. Wow. Most of the church lives like that. If this doesn't happen the way I think it should happen, go dip 7 times in a stinky river. No, that's absurd. Friends, if we are going to see a culture of healing, we've got to simply obey and have no strings attached. No parameters in our mind that we can't go through. And that's what God's called us to. Friends, I'm trying to make us hungry here. Hungry for the truth of who God is. In the midst of our comfortable Christianity, God wants to move to the other side. In the midst of our time frames that we set on things, God wants to move to the other side. The way God needs to heal, God wants to move. And I love the last part of the story, and I end with this. As he goes out of Nazareth, he gets booted out. People are angry with him. How many of us would say that if Jesus rocked up in Howick, he would be booted out? I hope not. But he found unbelief there. He went to the next city, Capernaum. And you know what it says about Capernaum? It says they were astonished at his teaching. They sat there, hungry, valuing, drawing from everything. Everything that Jesus said, they pulled from. It says they were amazed at the authority he had. And you know what happened in that city? It says the people brought their sick out into the streets and he healed every single one of them. Why? Because the city was hungry. They were leaning in. They were valuing, they were honoring Jesus in their midst. Friends, I'm believing for a culture in this church where we don't come sitting back, judging everything, critical. Oh, it's not like I want it to be. It doesn't work like I think it should work. Friends, our heart here is to represent the heart of heaven. It's to do what God's word calls us to do. It's to simply obey. Because in the midst of that, where we become astonished and amazed at Jesus, we become in wonder of who he is. We begin to value him. That's why I love it when people pay money to go to the other side of the world for a conference, because it shows they value what they're getting. I can tell you right now, we have a time here when an international speaker will come through. And guess what happens? Everyone's life changes. But the minute the local pastors stand up here, friends, there's something wrong. If we recognize Jesus in the midst of his teaching, and we're astonished by the authority because of Christ that someone carries, we have to honor that gift to receive from it. And here we see a city that couldn't honor. My prayer, come to Love Howick's Vision Night on Thursday night. You will hear how we want to host Jesus in this city. We don't want to just play games, friends. We want to see poverty eradicated in 10 years. We want to see lives impacted. We want to see the hungry fed. We want to see our environment look like heaven. We want to see all these things, people empowered by the Spirit of God. And we are the ones that are called to do that as the church. Come and be involved in it. Because why? This is like Capernaum. And I prophesy over Howick, where we're so astonished and amazed that people get healed left, right, and center. That the good news gets preached, liberated. People get set free. People come under the influence of the power of God. And guess what? Their families, their marriages, their parenting, it's never the same again. Are you willing to go to the other side? Because this year, we're going to build a culture of generosity, culture of healing, and a culture of hunger like we never have before. Because that's what God's calling us to.